Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to visit Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C., the building where President Lincoln was shot. And then I walked across the street to see the Peterson House, where he died 9 hours later. Every year, about 1 million people tour the place where our 16th president was assassinated, a testament to the fascination that so many of us have with Lincoln's remarkable life and his tragic death. President Lincoln was a man who faced great challenges in every stage of his life, a life that began in a one-room log cabin on the Kentucky frontier. Lincoln's father was a stern, often unfair disciplinarian, and his mother, who he loved dearly, died a painful death before his 10th birthday. As the years progressed, Lincoln struggled with severe depression, condition worsened by the death of one of his sons at age 3 and another at the age of 11. And when he was elected president, Lincoln assumed the leadership of a fractured nation, one that would soon be entrenched in the bloodiest war in American history, a war that pitted brother against brother and led to the deaths of 625,000 American soldiers. As I sat in Ford's Theater, looking up at the presidential box and reflecting on the events of the day of his assassination, I couldn't help but think that Lincoln was a man who couldn't escape the difficult reality of this earthly life. History suggests in every chapter of his life, Lincoln was forced to face another very real trial or sorrow. And as you know, that night in our nation's capital was no different. Though for Lincoln, for just a moment, it must have seemed that he'd left his greatest trials behind him. See, he'd been reelected, and he was now 2 months into his second term as president. Just 6 days before his assassination, General Lee surrendered to General Grant, effectively ending the Civil War. And so now here Lincoln sat with his wife Mary, the two of them celebrating and enjoying the last act of a hilarious comedy. How he must have cherished this time with his wife, this time to laugh out loud with the audience. Completely unaware that the end was at hand, that death was waiting outside a closed door. Lincoln was a man who couldn't escape the difficult realities of this earthly life. And I speak of him this morning because I believe in his story we see the importance and the relevance of the words read in our epistle today. St. Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote, "The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." When you read this verse and our epistle in its entirety, the first thing you may notice is that these words, they're part of a letter that's written first and foremost to a particular people at a particular moment in history. Peter is writing to the early church, the same people to whom Jesus spoke the warning that you heard in our gospel today. Jesus said to them, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever kills you will think that he does God service." So Peter certainly had our Lord's words in mind, as well as Jesus' prophecy concerning the destruction of the temple and the end of their nation, when he wrote, "The end of all things is at hand." Now from our vantage point 2,000 years later, we see exactly how these prophecies were fulfilled in the lives and in the deaths of the first Christians. In hindsight, it's easy to recognize these prophetic words were truly inspired by the Holy Spirit and contained a particular and important message for the first Christians. So the question we find ourselves asking today is this: what message does God intend to communicate to us as we read this letter 2,000 years later? And I would suggest this epistle is just as important to us as it was to the early church. For it contains this urgent warning we all need to hear: the end of all things is at hand. The truth is, for every one of us, in one way or another, the end of all things is at hand. In the Bible, we read about the way this truth was demonstrated in Jesus' prophecy about the destruction of the temple and the end of the nation. In books of history, we read about the way this truth was demonstrated in the stories of our most famous heroes, like Lincoln, who lived remarkable lives that all ended in death. And in our own experience, we see this truth demonstrated when we mourn the loss of those we love and visit their graves, grieving that loss of physical connection that we once shared with them. If you stop for even a moment and consider the message of the Bible, the pages of history, or your own personal experience, there's really no denying the fact that the end of all things which belong to this earthly life is truly always at hand. But the great majority of people won't stop and consider these facts. For this message that God inspired Peter to communicate is one that the world, and especially our culture, doesn't want us to stop and contemplate. The world would have you believe that the end of all things is nowhere in sight, that your life and the world as we know it will continue on indefinitely. But that's not what God tells us. His holy word tells us that the end of all things is at hand, and that we should face this reality by living our lives in accordance with the truth that has been revealed to us. This epistle calls us to prepare ourselves for that end, an end which for those who love God can truly be seen as a great beginning that commences at the end of this earthly life, a beginning that we may see as just another chapter in the eternal life that has already begun. So listen to how St. Peter tells us to prepare for the end of all things. He writes, "Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." What kind of life does God call us to live, knowing that the end of all things is at hand? He calls us to a life dedicated to loving and serving one another. He tells us to pray for others. We should pray for their conversion, for His grace to rest upon them, for their salvation. He tells us to forgive one another in love. "For hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins." And God tells us to show hospitality one to another without grumbling, and to use the various gifts He's given us to serve one another in love, proving ourselves to be good stewards of His amazing grace. These things we do, and this life we live by the grace of God and in the strength of God, in order that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. This is the message of our epistle. And while it may not be easy, it's certainly simple. You could really easily just put it in a nutshell and say that St. Peter tells us the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, glorify God and set your affection on His kingdom by loving and serving and giving your life in sacrificial service to God and neighbor. Wake up every morning ready, willing, and by God's grace, able to pay any price to serve Jesus, knowing that the worst thing that can happen to you in this earthly life, it leads directly to the best thing that can happen to you. The thought reminds me of Lincoln, and it brings me back to where we began. President Lincoln was a man who struggled for years with questions about the existence of God, the truth of Holy Scripture, and the relevance of the Christian faith. In one of his biographies, we read that he was a man who had once hated God, who felt tortured and rejected by Him, like Job of old. But ultimately, and through a process of years, Lincoln came to see God as good and just. He learned to rely on His comfort, trust in His guidance, and stand in awe of His perfect judgments. According to his widow, his last words were of his desire to see Israel. As they sat in the balcony, Lincoln and Mary, on his last night on this earth, he said to her, "We will visit the Holy Land and see those places hallowed by the footsteps of the Savior. There is no place I so much desire to see as Jerusalem." Lincoln planned to visit Jerusalem and walk in the footsteps of his Savior. But as Scripture reminds us, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? It is a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Or in other words, the end of all things is at hand. Lincoln's story helps us recognize that we only have today to love God and to love our neighbor. We only have today to share His word and plant seeds for His kingdom. We only have today to live for Him and with Him and in Him. Lincoln's remarkable life, His enduring legacy, and His last words, which expressed His love for our Savior, are evidence that He was a man who learned how to live for God today. May we follow His good example in order that we may face the end of all things secure in the knowledge that the worst thing that can happen to us, it leads directly to the best thing that could happen to us. For in the end, those who put their trust in the Lord will, in the twinkling of an eye, join saints and angels in perfect and everlasting communion with Almighty God in His heavenly kingdom. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.